In Ezekiel chapter 16, first verse, again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathsome of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellence. Ointments, thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy neckness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered works, and shod thee with badger skins, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, and embroidered works. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathens for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornication on everyone that passed by. His it was, and of thy garments thou didst take and deckest thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like thing shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy embroidered garment and coverest them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I give thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savour. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredom a small matter? That thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. And in all thine abominations and thy whoredom thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare, and was polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee a high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hath made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hath opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredom. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors. Great of flesh, thou hast increased thy whoredom to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine own ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot, saith him, and yet wouldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine inmanent place in the head of every way, and maketh thine high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot in that thou scornest Tyre, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to thy lovers, and hirest them that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredom. Whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredom, and in that thou givest a reward, no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Now, the Lord is saying this to Israel, what he had done for Israel, how he had found them, what he had done in picking them up, how he had blessed them. And tonight it would be nice if we just had time to go into each one of these things as a natural allegoric tie to show you that each one of these natural things that happened to Israel has spiritually happened to the Gentile people. And that here, if we took each one of these things, it would have a great spiritual understanding if we unveil them to bring forth the light, which means the understanding of God. But notice here, one thing he emphasized over and over was that they had been found in their own blood and was polluted in their own blood. See, which makes you to know and makes me to know that inasmuch as we are found within our own blood, then are we polluted. As to a spiritual application, whereas Jesus said at the supper, take and drink, for this is my blood, and eat, for this is my body. And these things having spiritual significance in that he said, my words are spirit. Today, they remain the same. They are spirit and they are life. And even as the natural man eats of the natural bread, so we as a spiritual man eat of the spiritual bread. And they drank of the natural wine, and we drank of the spiritual wine. And if we don't do this, then we don't have any life in us. So then we see that here, as he speaks to Israel, all these things having happened to Israel, in our day, it's so clear. We can see so clearly in our day that Israel is about to be punished for this, and as the Bible has stated, it will be one of the greatest tragedies that's ever happened in all of the history of mankind. And the Bible teaches that the tribulation period of these things upon the Jews will be of such degree that never before in the history of the world has there ever been such a great tribulation upon mankind. And right now they're right on the verge of suffering this. As a matter of fact, it brings back to my mind as to these things that's happening in the East. And we had spoken concerning these, how that they would form that great power, how they would come together to fulfill the prophecy or the word of the Lord that said no man could make war against him. And that it's going to be such a confederation as to strength and as to all these armies coming together. Also, we had made the statement that when they get ready to fight against Hussein, we made the statement that Mr. Gorbachev and Russia would drag their feet and that they wouldn't go with them to battle as to really stand up, and that there would be a confederation with Hussein, something that's unseen, and of course that's why that those Russians haven't been let out of that. See, the others have had opportunity to go, but those Russians are not in captivity. They're just staying there working and making a living and making money that is going to them and into Russia to those families. And Mr. Gorbachev is letting them stay there. It makes it look like it's a whole lot different, but that's really what it is. And of course, as long as those Russians are in there, then that also gives Mr. Gorbachev a reason to drag his feet because his people are in there. But we found out in the last day or two that Mr. Gorbachev has told them that he was not going to war with them to that extent. And Mr. Hussein has also made his statements to understand that he isn't going to compromise or have a chat with anybody concerning any means of peace, that he's going to do what he wants to do. And when you look at all this and you see the thing that's taking place, It means that the end of the world is here. And as I said, all of it was an aggression against Israel. And you remember reading the paper shortly after we made that statement, where as the Bible said in Revelation 11, that the nations were angry, that all of them were angry, and also angry against Israel because of the thing that happened at the Wailing Wall when they killed Samaritans. But I point out again that even since then, there's been some Jews that's been slaughtered and cut to pieces. There's been nothing said about it. They were shot as they crossed the line. The bus down there was no fuss made over it. But see, when you got about a billion Arab people in the world, as to about a fifth of the population, so it is said, then there's going to be a fuss. See, and the thing is, we as American people are caught right in the midst of a trap over there where they're at. And we're caught, as you would say, between the Russian people and the Arab people and the other people, and what nations that really stand for the United Nations would change over in a split second if the going got rough and change to the winning side, especially in as much as they're on that side of the ocean where they have to cope with Mr. Gorbachev and the others. And at this present moment, I understand that Mr. Gorbachev, as we had made the statement also, has strengthened himself in the government of Russia, has to take a greater stand, a greater power, in that they don't really cater to the president. And even though there's a dispute at the present moment, according to the paper, between Gorbachev and the president, yet Mr. Gorbachev has made the statement that they could kill him or hang him on a cross, that he would not change from the Soviet policy that he has as to the independence that some of them are asking for. So it's very obvious that he is seeking to keep his place at a time when it looks like there could be an expulsion. And as to the man with the mark on his head, just like I said, Satan is to Revelation 12, and that thing going out, as it appears, to cause Satan to go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And also that Mr. Gorbachev has carefully surveyed the land as we said he would, as the Lord revealed when I say these things that we said he would, and that he hath taken to himself all of that which he could gather as information to prosperity or whatever created something that made government progressive, and he hath constituted, put it all together, and formed him a government of his own. In that the Bible teaches that Antichrist will have a way of his own and a religion of his own and a government of his own. All of those things he will have that will be diverse from anything that's ever been in the world. And he's put it all together, and he's determined, even at this point, as Mr. Gorbachev, the Bible speaks of the King of the North coming, at this point, holding to those things to where it will bring about the old Babylon rebellion. Even as Mr. Hussein, as they just recently, I believe, took a picture of him in a chariot of Babylon, and how that he prints the coin every year with his, or yearly, with his face on one side and with the Nebuchadnezzar face on the other side. That is to say, Babylon right in that area. And some of you remember how Mr. Carter was over there at a celebration about the same time that we were over there when the stones were thrown, and about the time that the Jews crowned Mr. Carter. That is to say, the people of the college, the young folks of the college, which goes back to what we say, said allegorically speaking, as JC, Jesus Christ, or we say Jimmy Carter. Well, anyway, there's a whole lot that we could say about that, even the meeting of Jimmy Carter on the plane when we met Jimmy. But the thing is, the whole thing is centering around old Babylon being brought back, and the Antichrist coming up. And as Mr. Hussein, his hope is in the fact that since there are so many Arabs and that he is relative, that somehow he's going to stir up something in showing his great courage, that all of those Arabs are suddenly going to say, we don't need to be fighting against our brother. We need to turn on America and all these others, and to stand up with him, for him to bring about that great, great thing of bringing Antichrist in as ruling the world. And that, as we say, an aggression against Israel, because in as much as he is within his heart wanting to attack Israel, it would be the very thing for all of them that has found fault with Israel, according to the paper, to come together with somebody that's hostile toward Israel or that is to say the Arab people, all of them coming together, showing the bonds child, that they would come together and drive Israel out of her homeland, which the Bible said that they will do as a confederation. And again, I remind you that in doing this, as Matthew 24, that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, the place that ought not, then shall the end come. Or that is to say, inasmuch as they will compass Jerusalem. The Bible said, and when the armies of the world compass Jerusalem about, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Which lets me know that the end of the world being right here, all of a sudden, here comes the armies together, confederating together to give that one command as to a charge to encompass Jerusalem, that it might bring the end of the world. For according to the Bible, we will be gone out of here by that time. I keep reminding you over and over, we're saying, well, we'll sit and we'll see if it comes to pass. I tell you again, you won't sit and see it to come to pass, because the church will be translated and be taken out of here, and that has to do with a middle of the week thing. And we're right now in the year of 90, and if we're in the year of 90, I tell you again that we're moving on toward the 2000 as to another millennium. Bringing in another millennium, in that a millennium is 1,000 years. And this millennium that's coming in will be the 7th millennium as to the record, historically speaking, according to calendar. Calendar-wise, it will bring in the 7,000th year. Again, we say God created in 6 days. He rested on the 7th, or he worked 6 days. He rested on the 7th, and on the 7th he hallowed it. And we have as to the 5, 6, and 7 days of the week. To show this, typically, Jews keeping it in a type and a symbol. Paul said that all of the things of the Old Testament allegorically speaketh of Christ, and that these scriptures, Jesus said, pointeth to me. So it's very obvious that that is coming around, and if that be so, before the 1,000 years can come in, there has to be 7 years of tribulation. So then that means that if we are already in the 90s, and we're beginning to move in, and the way that things work in our government as to a man being in X amount of years and then he can't go back in, it's working just perfectly, that at the time, you know, of the change to bring this thing in as to the tribulation period, as we would say calendar-wise, and in doing this, then that means that Mr. Antichrist would have to be on the scene somewhere. He has to be getting ready somewhere. If it's getting close, things is beginning to shape up as to bring this into an order, and it has to come into a world order. For Antichrist, it cannot be a scattered government across the world as having a leader over here and a leader over here. It has to come into a confederation of one government, and then it has to come under a computerized system as to take account and to take stock of the great enterprises of the world and of all humanity, that they may be numerically counted for. And in this, as they come together, then it will bring one man rules as to one man command as to one army and one strength, and with all of this to confiscate the wealth of the world. And in doing this, then Antichrist will take control. And I remind you one more time that we have said this over and over, that with this confederation there will be one nation that will rebel, and that will be Israel. And when the man, as to the Antichrist, confiscates, and when he gets all together as to a consolidated thing, bringing them all together into one unit, it will be back to the old Babylonian thing when they was going to build the tower to heaven as to the star that represented Satan, when God went down there and scattered them to the four winds, sent them into all the nations, and confounded them according to their speech. No doubt they was going to build that tower because they didn't want another flood to take them away. And it was their rebellion against God. Make it higher than the mountains, as we say. But nevertheless, we see that this thing is coming together. And if it's coming together, it's coming together in a unification for the leadership of one individual. And when that one individual so gets control of the world, it will be such a glorious thing, with all men looking unto him and praising him, and him being the preeminence of it, that it is going to be a grievous thing when one little nation like Israel keeps saying, "Our Messiah is coming," because he's going to make himself God. And in doing so, he's going to carry the great whore as to the Roman Catholic Church. And with this, the beast carrying that church in, that Satan's going to personify himself as the dragon to bring on the false prophet and all these things that we spoke to you about, one thing and then another, right down the line. It shaped up just perfectly so far. And then in this, in that glorious thing of having his own glory, doing his own thing, there will be tidings out of the east that will trouble him. And these tidings, I tell you again, will be this one thing, and that is hearing Israel say, "Our Messiah is coming. Our Messiah is coming." And knowing that he cannot be God over all the people until he completely does away with Israel, then he will form the armies as a great confederation, bring them together, compass the cities of Jerusalem, and try to make them extinct as to set up his powers and kingdom to take over Jerusalem. And it will be such a horrible, horrible, hideous thing, because their intention will not be to bring into captivity altogether, but to eradicate and make extinct until they find that there's no strength in those that are left, and they will be subjected to Antichrist. So then that's where we're moving to. It's all going to that real fast now. See, and the days of the Gentiles are over. As to this extent, they're closing out. It's just like I was telling you a few days ago, that the death that we saw of the brother, it had great significance. Every person has a great significance in the time of their living, and they have a great significance in the time of their death. And though we blindly do whatever we want to do, if we want to fellowship somebody, we fellowship them. If we want to go with them, we go with them. Whether they're good or bad, or whether they represent whatever, we are usually so blind as people that we don't know nothing and we don't see anything, and we just blindly go after it until we fall into the ditch, seeing as a people. Unless we have God in our heart. For if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But the thing is that with this particular thing that we cannot speak particular to you of, because of personality and because of people's feelings, yet it has great significance. And as to an individual thing, we speak to some of the different ones as we individually can, as much as we can, and to our own companion concerning the thing. But it does have great significance as to bringing to the end the seed of the serpent. As it was preached by Brother Branham as to the seed of the serpent, and he was wanting to preach the message on the trail of the serpent. Whereas he never did preach the trail of the serpent, but had he preached the trail of the serpent, he would have had to go back to the garden as to the expulsion, where the serpent was put out of the garden, and then pick up with Adam at the head of that serpent. As in Adam, all die, where he had lost the sonship as to that Shekinah covering, and that from there came the generation of vipers, which is the trail of the serpent, all the way down to Calvary, and then at Calvary, where John had laid the axe to the root of the tree to cut down that family tree, all the way back to the garden, or that is to say, to do away with that family tree of knowledge. As to the great world of today, it's done away with. But now, as to the people of the world, they're still following it. But it's still done away with. Someone would say, well, how can it be done away with if the colleges and the schools and the people are still here and they're indoctrinated with this gross darkness of intellectual ignorance? How can it be? It's because they're still on the other side of Calvary. They're not in the grace of God. They're not in this light that we're talking about. They're still back there as to the veil of death, which is the intellectual reasoning that come over Eve's eyes, as in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. That veil of death is still today, within the people, or it still has control of the people, and the people are still under the shadow of it. This world is a great world of darkness. It's filled with darkness. The whole world is in darkness. And ye are lights as to candle lights. And each one of you are lights. And you're the light of the world. And Jesus is the, as we say, the old candle lighter. The lamp lighter that came by lighting the lamps in the night. And he lit you up. And ye are the light of the world. And in this dark world, which means an intellectual smothering or covering, you are caught within that intellectual smothering or covering of the veil of death. And the whole world is in darkness, and ye are children of light. And we are trying our best to light the little lamps or the little candles, wherever, whoever's got oil in their lamp, we're trying to light that, that this light may compile itself together, as scientists say, as to candle power, to eradicate this darkness, that when He, the Lord Jesus, comes, we rise, we trim our wicks, and the light begins to shine. As it was in the days of Gideon when they had their little lamps in the clay pitcher, so are ye, the little clay pitcher. And on the inside, the Bible said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. Having lit these little candles, and when Gideon put them all around this valley, knowing that these creatures that were in the valley represented at that time being in the dark, the creatures of night whose eyes, we say, speaking spiritually, that Satan having blinded their eyes, they cannot see when good comes. As it was with Paul, very religious, but blinded until the scales fell from his eyes, persecuting and wasting the church of God, thinking that he knew something when he didn't know something that he ought to know, and him being religious. But nevertheless, as Gideon put them around and he said, all of these little candles will be lit. And so then God is lighting them today. We're talking with you today to have the oil within your vessel. And he said, at the right time, I'm going to give the command. And when I give the command, you're going to smite the little clay pitcher. And when you smite the little clay pitcher, it's going to break, and the light's going to break forth, not as one, not as two, not as three, but all of the light together. For the Bible said, ye shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when God smites the little clay pitcher. And it will all be over as to the change of the body, as to the redemption of the body, as to when we come into the full understanding and the full measure of this light, as to whatever our measure would be. And so then is the membership of that body when the head returns, as to the command, as to the trump sounding, then the clay pitchers will be broken and the light throughout the world will eradicate. And so then we're finding this, that it will come to pass with our change. And then when we ride over the tribulation period, as is set up the millennium, then the light will be there. And then at the end of the millennium, the great God of light will come as to the eradication of the earth itself. But anyway, the light growing brighter and brighter. And the Bible said that God will destroy the one that sits in the temple, that man of perdition, in that the body of the Lord is considered to be humanity. He that sitteth in the body of the Lord, that showeth himself God, and that is to say in his intellectual constraint of telling the weather and doing all the things as to controlling humanity and trying to control the church, religion, everything else. All of a sudden God will appear as to this light that's breaking forth now. And God, through this light, will destroy that darkness, in that darkness and light hath no fellowship. And that great understanding that seems to be so mighty that's ruling the world will fade away into nothing at the brightness and the brilliance of this light that so does excel as to the great understanding of God Almighty, the wisdom of God Almighty. Whereas they said, and they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake, because they beheld the brightness, that is an angelic light, an angel is a light, his face as an angel, with the wisdom that he spake, they were so confounded. So as it was said, when they went into Canaan, and this shall be the power that you'll have over the people, they will fear you because of your great understanding. Whereas the Bible said, concerning the children of God, and all of them shall be of a great understanding, a quick understanding. So then God has given us his own mind, even the mind of the Lord Jesus, that we should understand that which is beyond the veil. And that with this, that the veil might be rent in twain, to be eradicated, that this great, wonderful light might come forth. So we see right here in this hour, everything is shaping up to that very thing. When Gideon had them to smite the clay pitcher, all of a sudden this light shined in these people's eyes, not having time to the proper dilation, had adjusted themselves to the darkness, and they were blinded as Gideon's men went in on them and destroyed them because they could not see. And so God gave us another great symbolism of that, which is blindness. That if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. And then when we look back again, as I say, at Moses and see the veil over Moses' face that the Bible spoke of, the Bible said, and they could not steadfastly look to the end of that which now is abolished. That is Calvary, doing away with it. And the Bible said, within the veil of Jesus' own body hath abolished death. And they could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. That is to say, as they looked toward the light, they saw a veil. The veil today means the intellectual tree of knowledge, or that which came down through the understanding as to Satan, the mind of Lucifer, having been in the light, being now reflector, and that light within you now becoming darkness, because he was put in the world to become the ruler of darkness. And this world is the place where he ruled. For Satan is the prince of this world, and he is in this world, and he tried to give Jesus all of these things to entice him, even using a religious approach, saying that these things are given unto me to give to whomsoever I will, and if you'll fall down and worship me, I will give you these things. So then Jesus, coming against that, remained strong as the Savior of light, and said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for as it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, thou shalt have no other gods before me." And these kind of things. And finally, the prince of darkness left. Satan did not say that he had overtaken Adam and overpowered Adam and Eve and had taken these things from them, in that they were the prince of the world and the control of all of these things, until he took it. And he took it as Adam, as to the fact that Adam was the prince over all things. Then he entered into Adam to the extent of this mind, as to the weakness of the flesh, as to Adam and Eve being one. And so then, entering in, he took control of it, and the great sonship, as to the image in which Adam and Eve was made, was lost, as in the brightness of the garden, by the overshadowing or the illumination of the Shekinah. And the garden was gone, because it withdrew when the sin came and the briars came, and the garden was gone and the image of God was gone. And that image did not return again until down at Calvary, when it came to be one with you and I. And today we're born to that great, wonderful spiritual image of likeness, that life that will break forth in these mortal genes to make this life of Christ manifest in our mortal genes, that in that day when we make the change, that we will outshine the brightness of the noonday. And though we don't know what he looks like, the Bible said that when he appears, we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For we that remain in our life at his coming shall be changed into that glorious image of God, as beholding as one would his face in a mirror, as to the unveiled face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are changed from glory to glory into the wonderful same image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that is to say, this glory of understanding, as from one understanding to another part of the understanding, as the measure to measure, we are allowing the indwelling light of the mind of Christ to swallow up this outer man. And though this outer man decreases, yet the inner man increases day by day. All right, so then we see that the light is breaking forth, and it's eradicating, and it's destroying, and it's causing war in heaven. Because the war that is in heaven means that you that have been caught up to the throne, in that you're not in the flesh but in the spirit, Satan being in the spirit as to the time of the expulsion to be made manifest. Well, that is to say, while he is there, as Revelation 12 gives it, the second heaven, and the woman is in travail, as to say the church that is in the grace of God, which is a second heaven. And while they are here in this heaven, it means that while they are in the heaven as to the grace of God, then the whole world is in the grace of God. And their sins have been taken away, because Jesus was manifested to take away the sins of the world and saved us while we were yet in our sins. To do that, he had to take away the sins of all people as to a dispensational period. And so then at this time there's a second heaven, and in this second heaven, as to the rim of grace, I say so often, the people of the world are in heaven. They have medical aid. They have all these blessings to stop pain. They have food. They can eat. They can drink. They can revel. They do all these kind of things, and God cannot see they're wrong, because he's looking at them at this moment through the blood, until he can get you out from among them, saying, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. That is to say, until he can redeem you as those that are sinners, that at this time are sinners in God's sight, and yet you're elect before knowledge, he has to take the time to get you out. That means he has to allow for their wrongdoings all of that time. It isn't because he loves the world like the preachers say. That's not what it is. Somebody said, well, he so loved the world, which means that they teach he loved all the people. That's not what it means at all. He so loved the world as to Adam and Eve and the garden while it was a paradise, that he gave his son that he might redeem it and bring it back to its original condition as to the millennium. But as to pertaining to the people and their wickedness and the world, as you would have them to believe that God so loved them, the Bible said God is angry with them every day. I'm angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. Though it's not my will that the wicked should perish, I would that they all would come to repentance and have everlasting life. But knowing by foreknowledge who is elect and who is not, as it was said of Paul, he preached, and they that were elect, or those of the foreknowledge, believed, and the rest did not believe. Shaking his raiment, he said, your blood be upon your own head. I go to the Gentiles. And that, of course, to get a bride. And that the gospel was given to Peter to the Jews. It was given to Paul to be our overseer as to the Gentile bride. All right, so then we see that what is taking place is that this world is the world of darkness, and Satan is the ruler of this world of darkness. And ye are children of light, and God has no place in this world. No place. Adam and Eve caused him to have to withdraw altogether from the world. And he doesn't have anything anymore that he created, as the trees and the stars and the moons and all these things has been taken out of his hand. And the dispute is between God and Satan as a continual warfare over the body, because the body was made for God as a great spirit to live in, as it was in the body of Jesus Christ, that life might radiate from that body and the whole world might be in light, as it will be in the new earth and in the new city when the Lamb, as to the understanding of the Word, being the light thereof. So then right now the only place he has is in your heart, and the only place is when you give forth light. He is a light within your heart, but it's still within the clay pitcher. And until that light is made manifest in your mortal genes, that the world may see a miracle, or the world may see a healing, or the world may see a life of purity and royalty, then no one sees God. And when you begin to believe in God is to draw that wonderful righteousness to you, because you're the predestinated seed, and that Christ is to your hope of glory being on the inside, the one only that was made heir to the glory, he is on the inside. And when that is in there and God sees that by faith, purifying your heart, then without works, he lets the light of God so shine that you overflow with that light, filled up and overflowing. As David said, my cup runneth over. And the light just floods out, and then the world sees you. The Bible said that the world may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, you shine forth as a great light. So then don't let anything smut up the globe, as we say. Keep it clean. All right, seeing then that this is happening, that is why I said what it is as to an individuality, as to the thing of the death of the individual. As the individual having been here, this place runs a symbolic thing, as I've said to you before. And in that the whole world is in the second heaven, how is it then so bad to say that it has a symbol meaning here? As the symbolic significance, then you understand what it has as to significance, what it holds for you. And when things start, as it was Lucifer being in heaven, there in the presence of God, being a reflector, being magnified, and the magnitude of it was that he was a reflector of the glory of God. And here he sought an equality which the Lord did not try to stop him from as to reflecting his glory. But then when he said that he would exalt himself above the stars and set his throne above that of God, the Bible said, though he was beautiful in the day that iniquity was found within him, it caused his beauty to be taken away. And by his understanding, as to his foolishness, as to the sin. The Bible teaches that his iniquity brought about a wisdom that was perverted, that caused his beauty to fade away. In that the Bible said, I will beautify the meek with salvation. I read to you here where the Lord said unto the Jews, being typical even of the membership of that which had fallen, as to the first man Adam, and Jesus being the head, as to that man that was to be smitten, as the first man Adam, there to do away with that image. It was there that this image, as Adam, showed as many members as that of Satan, that went into darkness out of the presence of God's light, and with the wisdom, as they lifted themselves up, taking the traditional things of God and keeping the tradition of the elders rather than keeping the faith of Jesus Christ, as to which Moses kept, then it caused that their wisdom should bring about a self-righteousness or a self-esteem that caused God to be separated from them by that intellectual veil of rebellion. And in so doing, they were in darkness, and thus they were cut off, or the expulsion came, and they were put out of the presence of God, though they'd been chosen and God had given them the beauty that they had. Their wisdom had defiled their beauty. And so then it has reference back to Adam again, that Adam was a handsome man, and he was, out of all that could come forth, he was the most handsome, and Eve was the most beautiful, because their beauty was not a man's beauty or a woman's beauty as of the skin tones and whatever, but the illumination of Almighty God, the radiance of the glory which you and I have as being born again, even this glory that shall be brought forth. Whereas Paul said, in this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, it doth not yet appear as to our glory, but it will be so great, just the glory that will be found in us at the change. See, now, so we see that Adam, he said concerning Adam, he said, how art thou fallen, O son of the morning, speaking of that which he had created as the first, Adam, even at the first, O son of the morning, how art thou fallen, the first Adam. How art thou fallen? In that Jesus is the evening time lamb, as to the sacrifice, which we could say much about in Revelation, as to unveiling the thing to show the light of it. In that the Bible said, from Calvary now the true light shineth. So then we see that is to say the unveiled light is not to say the light which as was hid behind the veil of intellect, which was that light as the veil over Moses' face, when they said, let us speak to you and you speak to God, and they looked at that light through the veil and could not steadfastly see to the end of that which was abolished. So that is to say, these that are intellectual in the world today, as the darkness that are out here in the world, you can't see God steadfastly through their intellectual approach of religion because of the veil that is there. And that light that's coming forth, rather than giving us the wisdom and understanding of God, brings forth an intellectual understanding. And that is the wisdom that comes from Satan to the tree of knowledge, and not the tree of charity and faith, as to understanding. Knowledge puffeth up. The Bible said with wisdom, we're referring back to knowledge, get understanding. And God is understanding, for charity edifieth or gives understanding. That is, it eradicates the veil of darkness. So in this world, Satan being the prince of it, here you and I being born again, the body is now dead, our spirit went back to the world of light, or God who gave it, and we're not of the world and we're not in the flesh, and the body now being buried is buried in the name of Jesus Christ. Dead by Calvary, buried, and buried in the name of Jesus Christ as a watery grave, that our angelic one is to the light of his Shekinah is illuminating heaven as we dwell in the heavenly places. Know ye not that ye are the light of the world, that is the understanding. And if this light goes out, or this understanding, then the darkness will cover the people. And that is the gross darkness that will come when the light goes out, as to the translation. And then it will be of such a condition that the ignorance will be so great as to the gross darkness covering the people, that they won't even have enough understanding, even with their scientists falsely so called, or their great professors, they won't even have enough understanding to even perfect a bottle of medicine to do away with any pain. In that all of this healing comes from God as the Shekinah illumination. And when the church is to the light or the understanding to do those things is gone out, they won't have even any understanding, and they'll gnaw their tongue for pain. And the Bible said in that day there'll be no healing medicines. All right. So then we can see that what has happened, that this has come down all those years, and now John lays the axe to the root of the tree at Calvary. Now we're coming way over here to the end time when this is to be made manifest as what spiritually took place. And the church is to be manifested as to that which is light on the inside. It must come forth as to an ultimatum of change. And just as quick as it changes like that, God will take you out of the world to let the world continue in darkness for that 7-year period as to the tribulation, that they may go through that darkness as to Antichrist ruling over them through his intellectual constraint. And the Bible said the darkness will fill his kingdom and the pain and whatever, but he'll let it go on as to the lesser light coming in when he seals the 144,000 as in the book of Revelation, the door open in heaven, John is to the church going up, and then the great multitude is seen in heaven as they follow the Lord Jesus as the church. No sun to light upon them, or no more tears, and all of these things of never hungering again. And on the earth, 144,000 sealed as the whole house of Jacob being saved. And they being sealed that they might go through the first part of that tribulation, and then as to the middle of it over there in Revelation 10 and 7 where it says the last trumpet sound, the mysteries of God finished, all of a sudden the war in heaven. There as to the middle of the week, the woman going away in the wilderness, the 144,000 as representing the man child in the natural, and that the spiritual part is gone, the natural will be caught up on Mount Zion. And there they'll meet the Savior himself, as Jesus stands there with them on the mountain. See, having gone through the first part of it as sealed, so that none of those things can injure them as to the opening of the pits, whereas the locust will come out and the smoke will come out and all of these stings unto death and all of these things as to war and whatever. See, there will be no thing that can hurt them as to the falling of the stars, as to the wormwood, as to the waters becoming blood, as to the hail mingled with fire and blood. None of this will hurt the 144,000. They're sealed to go through it to the middle of the week. And then, of course, they're caught up to Mount Zion. And then the war in heaven is to give us the thunders as to the finishing of the mystery. And with that, Lucifer goes out of the spirit, and no longer can he be in the spirit. He'll have to take on a human personification as to the Antichrist. He'll kill the two prophets that's been there at the first of the week to tutor on to the middle of the week. Kill those two prophets, and at that time, 3.5 days, they'll lay in the streets, and then they'll be caught up. While the whole world beholds them, perhaps through television and all the other mechanisms, they'll be rejoicing over these men, the Bible said, because their message tormented them, because they're going to preach to them that they are doomed. And it's not going to be a message of joy and glad tidings like this one. So then after 3.5 days, the Bible said, and then the Spirit of God entered into them, and they were caught up, and their enemies saw them caught up. And from that time, the kingdom of the beast will be filled with intellectual ignorance and darkness. But from the first of the week to the middle, that moonlight light, that reflector will be there, even the Jews, as to their religious ordinances to bring them to the fullness until the scales can go from their eyes that they may see, even as Paul in the middle of the week, and recognize the Messiah when he comes as to the nails in his hands, when the Bible said a nation shall be born in one day. But anyway, as to the first part there where they receive him as the 144,000, as to the sealing unto that redemption where he will be there on the top of the mountain to receive them. And with this, the thunders, the war in heaven, and we could go on and go on and go on of making mention of these things with them. Of course, that means that the woman goes into the wilderness and those that are over in Jerusalem. The Bible said that Antichrist will go to make war with the remnant of her seed, because the child itself, as relating to the 144,000 in the natural part, will be on the mountain. The woman will be down here across Jordan, perhaps in the valley of Petra, down at those places there that's called a shelter for them that they had back there in the days of the place of escape. These places, they'll go down there to them. And then, as the child up, the woman in the wilderness, and the remnant will be those that are left in Jerusalem. For the woman will flee as to those that are in Jerusalem into the mountains except those that are left. This has to do with the woman where it says, and as to the 144,000 being sealed in, and as to those that are in Jerusalem, turn not back for anything in your house. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. Woe unto them that give suck in those days. As to that woman fleeing, as to Jerusalem. And we'd like to have a lot more time to explain that, but just drop it in a thought there tonight to kind of bring this to an ultimatum, to where you get a complete scope as to a look at these things, that when God goes to putting it together, you can understand what hour that we're living in and how close the coming of the Lord is. As to this revelational appearance, it is Christ rapturing the church. I know you can't get a hold of that. You're waiting for him to appear up yonder. But I tell you, when he appears up yonder, he's appearing to the Jews and to the dead, and to the change of the body. And someone would say, well, that means it is coming there. If that means it is coming there, why does the Bible say, and ye shall see him, but the world shall not see him? The Bible teaches when he appeared there, all the world shall see him. So then we see that Christ, as to the coming of the Messiah, as to the stealing away of the jewels, as to the inner man, that the flesh profiteth nothing, and it's buried and gone, and will not be changed until the Thessalonian change. And will not come back until after the tribulation period, as to Revelation 19, to fight with the Jews, as to the redemption of the woman coming out of the wilderness, as the blood running up to the horse's bridle. And as it is said over there, in the latter part of Daniel's week, as to the last 3.5 years, where it speaks of cutting down the vine and gathering those grapes and vine, whatever, into the winepress of Almighty God, that it might be tread as the winepress outside of the city. That is to say, in the valley that will run with blood up to the horse's bridle. Well, anyway, we could go on and go on. We brought up something the other day as to why this blood would be up to the horse's bridle, how that it would get up to the horse's bridle, as when the Bible speaks of the rivers turning to blood and all these things, or even in the places where the horses would wade through. It would be so deep, it would be up to the horse's bridle. But nevertheless, I just said those few things to remind you that Jerusalem is about to go through all of these hideous things, where she's defiled her beauty. As Adam, he defiled his beauty. Thou wast the most beautiful tree in the garden, but ye lifted yourself up. Or that is to say, the communication with the tree of knowledge as to Satan. Then Adam there defiled the beauty as to the illumination of the light of the wisdom of God, which was his Shekinah garment. And when he done away with that covering, God said, you cover with a covering now, but not of God. That is, the covering of God is the Shekinah glory as to the image of the Son. And we're made in his image. But when we lost that image, as through the fall of Adam, the image today, even as scientists have proved, is a beast image. And he said, in the morning I will hate your image. That is to say, the bastard child image as to the beast. As to the image, if you're not a son of God, as to predestination, you will not be changed. And if you do not come to that Shekinah as to the sonship, then he will not see you in the morning, as from the evening to the morning, the trail of a serpent. And then the end of that, as Satan, the expulsion at Calvary. And at Calvary, it is now the morning time. And so then the darkness has been eradicated, and the morning is here. And God is now looking at you as to what you really are, whether you are that beast image that he despises or whatever. And yet the blood has you covered. Have you covered to the extent he cannot see you until over at the end of the Gentile age? And then when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, he sees you as you are, and not under that blood, as to say it would be so as to deceive the very elect if possible. That is to say, having tasted of the heavenly gift, having been made partakers of the Holy Ghost, having tasted of the word of God and the powers of the world to come, having come into this grace, into this illumination, being in the presence of it, even as Adam and Eve was, you are still today, to this extent that Jesus brought it back at Calvary to the illumination, and you're still eating and drinking and doing your evil and turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. So that is taking advantage of this day of grace to go on and be a charismatic thing with your uncleanness and all these things as to the love of the world, when the Bible says the love of the world being in you, the love of the Father is not there. So you're still going on being religious, but you're not God. You're not born of God, and you're not God's, because you're not the membership of the God body. So then we see that this whole world been in darkness, Adam fallen, losing that Shekinah image in which he was made, then that image did not return until the second man Adam is to the quickening spirit through the change after Calvary that come up out of the grave. As the Bible said, delivered for our offenses, as that image that transgressed, raised again for our justification, has that resurrected image as in a new form when he walked on the road to Emmaus with them when their eyes were beholden and they could not see him until after he'd eaten the fish, the honeycomb, and then vanished out of the mist. All right, so then we see that Adam had to do with the head of that serpent, and that at the end of the trail, that same Adam had to come forth in that same image, and his head had to be bruised, for it said, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent." And though a woman does not have a seed, yet the Bible said as to the prophetical utterance that a woman shall compass a man, and behold, a virgin shall be with child. And so then, here comes the seed, even Christ. And Christ picked up that image, being made in the image of sin, even your sin, and the seed of that serpent, even Adam, and taken Adam to Calvary, and there bruised the head with the thorns, bruised the back, and the countenance bruised more than any man, as we esteem him smitten of God, the wrath of God poured out upon him when darkness covered the earth and the sun withdrew, as to say, God that could not look upon iniquity, as when his son, who had been in his presence, even as Adam was in the garden, all of a sudden took the sins, as to the woman, which means the body, as to the inside, which means Adam, not in the transgression, even the spirit in the body of the woman and the man, as to the spirit on the inside, as to Christ, which was not in the transgression, even Adam. And so the illumination came back that was not in the transgression. And thus it was restored. And as we say, which we can't speak of tonight, as to the covering cherubs. We brought that out a little bit to bring it to show the restoration of it, of which Paul said he could not speak particularly in his day. But anyway, seeing this, we know then that that was smitten. And we also know that Jesus showed that, in that Moses was to lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even as the brazen serpent, even as the brazen altar, even as the lamb of the evening time sacrificed to the consummation of that fire of God which could never go out. So we find that as the Pesach lamb, or as they roll it, as I'm told in the Jews' language, kind of in a cultural sort of a sound, as the Spanish, this lamb was brought to Calvary in the evening time. And when they were told in the day of Moses to look upon the brazen serpent, the diseases left. And when we're told to look at Calvary, has to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the demon spirits as to the serpents, they cannot bite us. We keep ourselves and the evil one touches us not, for he hath justified by faith, sanctified by faith, perfected or made perfect forever them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, and blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, or his justification is by faith, as Jesus said, and the works was finished from the foundation of the world. So then we see our glorification, we see what God has done for us in the purchased possession as to the body, and the great mystery in that we will be changed, that death is swallowed up in victory, and we're just waiting to be tutored, to develop, to come to that time of the law as to the adoption, since the adoption has to do with the body, and the body has to be adopted because it can't be born in the kingdom. And that you're spiritually are born into a spirit, and you are naturally of the first man Adam, and you must be adopted as the body to the change. And that, of course, brings in the Jew and the law, which is the change of the body. And when the shadows of eradication and death is gone, even from the body, that is to say the Jew, at the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead? As to the resurrection, as to the justification, as to the change proven or shown. So we see that in Adam all die, in Christ Jesus all are made alive. In the mind of Satan is the death that's in Adam's seed, as to the first man Adam, and the tree of life as to the new tree, the family tree, even the family of God, Jesus Christ. It is the mind of Christ that bringeth life, in that his thoughts or words are life. Now, let me say this to you in closing. We was relating some things today to the brethren, being children, then are we heirs with and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. God having given us all things that pertain unto life. I was speaking today of these thoughts. Thoughts of light, thoughts of darkness. These thoughts. When thoughts come to you, you can do nothing about that. I can do nothing about that. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And these thoughts are brought to me of condemnation. And all these thoughts are brought to me. And Satan, being the prince of the world, wanting to trample down the mind of humanity, coming constantly with thoughts. Now, I cannot help that. But any time there is a desire, you can help that. And any time you have a desire, you've sinned against God. For these desires are from the heart. And desire, the original rendering of the word lust, is desire. And when you come to this as to a desire of God, it is precious. Whatever your soul lusteth after or desireth, so giveth he it unto you. As to covet, thou shalt not covet that is thy neighbor. But yet Paul said, covet a good thing. Under the law thou shalt not covet. So we misunderstand a lot of times as to what the Lord is saying. But on the other hand, as to a desire, as to lust, as to evil, a thought of wrong. So when these thoughts come, they have no strength. So they have no power over you. So they have no part in your heart. They cannot touch your spirit. Because a thought cannot touch your spirit. It's only an intellectual conception as to your human senses, as to say you are made that way, that when you look at an object, that the 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain might teletype upon, as we would say in human understanding or human vocabulary utterance, then it would bring that as to say tree or river or ocean or sky or star or moon or whatever, or people or things, objects, whatever. See, as to a mind definition, we're not charged then with thoughts that come to us as evil thoughts. Because if we are subject to the good, Satan being the prince of this world, he also has all kind of evil that comes before us in every way. And they present themselves the same way as to good. But the differentiation, as the Bible saying, and their thoughts being the means while accusing or else excusing one another. Here is our power of sovereignty, like a man sitting in a car, having the gear, he can shift it forward or backward. That sovereignty he has. After that, he has no more power as to the power of the car. It goes the way according to the selection. And thus it is with us. We have the power of differentiation as in the soul. So when these thoughts come, it means nothing. But if we give one little place to these things, where the Bible said, not giving any place to them, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, saying that those things that come did not defile you because they come, but you cast them down, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that every thought, as I said the other night, should be upon world evangelism. It should be upon helping somebody, esteeming others better than yourself, or looking on the things of another, or seeking another's welfare. Or it should be coordinated as thoughts or mind in the direction of that which is holy and godly and pure. If anything have any virtue in them, if anything be lovely, if anything be pure, if anything be good, think on these things. Well, that is to say, in closing, that with this desire, that is a strength. Anytime it becomes a desire, it strikes your heart. And that is a strength. And that is a spirit. That is a power. That is a satanic thing. And thus that mind has become the mind of Lucifer. So then that means that in coming up, and I wish we had plenty of time to go into the shadows and light as to these things, as to what the thoughts are, as to shatter and light. But anyway, coming up out of your heart, that defileth a man. For that which he thinks as a man thinketh, not in his head but in his heart, so he is. And that which cometh forth from the heart, if it isn't godly, it defileth the man. It is death. Or the mind of Christ, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, as it comes from the heart, is a well of living water. For out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But otherwise, out of there comes corrupt, as to the spring being corrupt, as to the flowing of that water, as to your spirit having given itself to desire, intermingling and becoming interwoven with Satan, then it is a strength. It is a power, one way or another, a spiritual power of the satanicism, or it is a spiritual power of Godism. And those same thoughts being desire that's turned into spirit can work miracles, one way or another, even as the lying signs and wonders. So we have to follow after Christ. It is a supernatural power as an angelic indwelling of the Spirit of Christ or of Lucifer, the fallen one. As the first man Adam or the second man Adam, as to whatever image, if it is the first man Adam, then it is Satan unto death. If it is the second man Adam, it is the born-again experience. As to the second image, rising from the dead, as to a new form, the glorified image, the restored Shekinah, that being born of it to where you can never be enticed out from under it again. So then, coming to this, it is the new image of life, even the tree of life. As the woman, the tree of death, as the man, the tree of life, as the seed unto life to the vagina, as from the vagina out from the matrix unto death. So as to one unto death, so as one unto life, and so as to represent as to that which is feminine in the world which Satan has taken, that's not sons of God, and these that are coming to us, that is to say, neither male nor female in Christ Jesus, as sons of God, a sonship being as of the image of the second man Adam, even as we say, a quickening spirit. So then we see as one man sins, death upon all the world, as one man's righteousness, life to all. As to the rent veil, as to the separation and the light, the darkness going here behind Calvary, as to that we say, as to the hinder part, looking toward the light within the veil, not steadfastly unto the end of that, and now the light of the world that is so swallowed up the veil, the same light penetrating as to the man like unto Moses or the prophet like unto Moses, and today heaven as to the light, and we seeing not through the veil as a glass darkly, as to the intellectual, but we are looking as to face to face, seeing Christ as the unveiled, and through this glory that's emanating from him, changing into the very image of Almighty God. All right, so then we took quite a bit of time tonight to try to finish this in a way to where, as it goes on film and it goes on tape, some could understand thoroughly as to a complete scope of what we're trying to explain, since we're so near the end time and the church is so near the rapture or the change. All right, I hope you understand what I'm saying. I might have said quite a bit there in as short time as it would be to me, and that it took 40 days for the Lord to talk to Moses about a little of it, and then had to go back 40 more days to talk about a little bit more of it. So we see, as Paul preached all night long to get over just a little bit of it, we're taking a few minutes of your time and trying to hurry, and say what we can to make you to understand that you are in a world of darkness until light comes into your heart. And that is why there's fears and frustrations and freakish things and all these terrors and horror movies and books and everything else, is because Satan is the prince of this world, and his theme is to be tough. Be like John Wayne, or be like Elvis Presley, as to a celebrity, I'll be tough. And from your childhood, he teaches you to box or to fight or to wrestle or to be tough and not take it and fight back. Whereas the Bible said, when Jesus reviled, he reviled not again. But anyway, knowing that he can control you that way, while the Lord is saying, be tender, be loving, be full of compassion, go the other way. And very few follow that, because they're not going to let you walk on them, as the world says. They're not going to let you say things to them without saying things back. They're not going to let you take advantage of them. And they'll tell you right quick, if they have to, they'll take a gun to settle the matter. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, let us all stand together. Appreciate your kind attention tonight, because we took quite a bit of time here, but just trying to make something thorough for you, to where if you happen to really go back to these tapes, that you can kind of go over them and scan them, chew a little bit on it, study it a little bit, think a little bit, and see what the Lord has for you in the words that he calls spirit and life. A lot of things taking place. A lot of great and mighty things tonight. We're just running over a few of them. You that are spiritual, Paul said, I would that you were spiritual. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man. He can't know them. But as Brother Branham said again, revealing God, revealing himself in simplicity, taking the foolish and abased things of the world, confound the wise. He's unveiling, and that great light is destroying that intellectual man of perdition that's in you, that shows himself to be God. God God is destroying that evil mind of rebellion, of idolatry, of witchcraft. And he's bringing the mind of Christ as to a translation, a transformation, a transfiguration, as to 1, 2, 3, to spirit, soul, and body. He's trying to work it out for you. Let's sing together. Remember in Egypt it was God's chosen people as to a body, garlic and onions. In the wilderness it was God's chosen people as to a soul, welfare, differentiating between wrong and right. As to changing from one mind of garlic and onions to the mind of Christ. As in Canaan, as to a spiritual new harvest of a wonderful thing. Or reverse it, as to a body, soul, and spirit, as to enter our soul transformation, as to bodily change. Sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. The altars are open as we sing. So I need thee, Lord, I need thee every day. I need thee, I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Can you sing that with me? So don't turn him away. Your heart once again, so let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to Jesus and hear his loving voice. Don't turn him away. Come in to my heart. Oh, come in. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay.
Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. I'm longing for my Savior to come back. I love Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Can you sing that with me? For we're longing for Jesus to come back. We long for Jesus Christ, our friend, who will come and take us to that home in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Let's lift our hands up together, close our eyes. Truly, we are longing for Jesus to come, Brother Taylor said. Looking forward to that wonderful, wonderful salvation that comes from God. Let's sing this little chorus that we sing so often tonight. As I let you go, I'm not going to hold you long around the altar, because I took quite a bit of time talking to you. The end of the serpent seed, as to a third part of those that rebelled, going out of this light, things beginning in heaven, reflecting, wanting the preeminence to exalt above, as to go everyone to their own place that was prepared before the foundation of the world. So good to have the light of the understanding that leads you down the trail to that wonderful city. Abraham seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Even the Spirit itself built it. God, who is a Spirit, builds it out of the lively stones through the membership of His body as to the ministry and sonship, founding it solely upon the foundation of the 12 apostolic leaders whose light is most precious, even like a jasper stone, appearing as a bride adorned for her husband, as to the membership of a crowning of that great pyramid-like stone, as to the all-seeing eye of that glory and the radiance of her beauty, even as a jasper stone, so is her understanding as to the light comparison. So then, as we sing this little song, giving glory to the Lord, let's keep our hearts ready. Be ready, for in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The world doesn't see this. Satan has blinded their eyes of understanding that they cannot see when good cometh. But your eyes of understanding can comprehend this light that they could not comprehend. The intellectual darkness cannot comprehend it and tell about this great thing. But your faith in God can comprehend this great light, as to that light most precious, even the light of that city, even the Lamb. Let's sing about the Lamb. And I will praise Him, my
the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory all people, for His blood has washed away every stain.
Can you sing that with me?
And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us give Him glory, all the people, for His blood that's washed away every stain.
Once again, we'll sing it.
And I will praise Him, my heart will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. I will give Him. Washed away every stain.
Just one more time.
We will praise Him.
But ask Brother Gary Joyner if he'll come up and dismiss us tonight.
Praise the Lamb for a sinner slain,
and
can you raise your hands and close your eyes? Can you give Him praise tonight?
For His blood has washed away every stain. I will praise Him.
Do you want to praise Him? Do you want to praise Him? God is a spirit. He inhabits the praise of His people. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Don't let it be said in this day as it was in that day that there was no room for Him in the end. Make room for Jesus in your heart.